Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And before we get into it, we just want to remind you all that you may call us at 781-591-0390. You may email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. We will play your voicemails and read your emails on our now twice weekly mini episodes, Mondays and Fridays. So please send us all the things.
And anything we talk about or reference will always be found on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
Yes. How's it going?
It is going okay over here. We did get coronavirus tests done today, which I'm pleased to report was like a fairly seamless experience.
Good.
And you know, no one in my family is having symptoms, but I wanted to just kind of err on the safe side, especially as we kind of phase here in California, phase back into kind of being around people in some situations. And you know, I was at a vigil earlier in the week, and then my entire family attended a march yesterday. And so I just am, because it is free here in LA County and very accessible, I wanted to try to take advantage of that and also just kind of get kids used to it, because it might be something mm-hmm. we have to do more often.
Yeah.
And it was a very like seamless and easy process, and for that I am very grateful.
Did you do the nose swab?
Goodness no, we did not. Okay. We did the it's here in LA County, they have drive-through testing, and so you have to register online and then you drive to the location and you each get a swab kit and you swab the inside. You have to like cough aggressively for 5 coughs and get like phlegm and spit kind of going in your mouth. And then you mm-hmm. swab the inside of your mouth, your gums, under your tongue and the roof of your mouth. And then you put that swab into a little container that has some sort of chemical in it and you shake that up and then you pass it through a 2-inch crack in your window to a person who grabs it with like a utensil that picks up trash, like those little grabber things.
Sure.
Yeah, like so uh-huh. The person who talked to us had 2 masks on plus one of those clear visors. I mean, it was really interesting, honestly, but it went very quickly. It took no time. There was no wait. And my kids were actually able to swab themselves, which kind of made me feel cautiously optimistic that if like we ever get into a space where they have to, you know, give themselves these tests, that they could handle it. And so,
oh, good.
Yeah. And they were both nervous. And then after, my daughter was like, that was fun. like, I'm glad you think so, because this is our life for the time being. But
yeah. I wonder how they test babies.
Well, you could do the swab. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but I can't like tell him to cough five times.
I know. Can you imagine? You might have to do the nose or have like a, I mean, I'm assuming you would have your pediatrician administer it.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Good question,
just
though.
Just curious. I don't, Henry does not have coronavirus symptoms, but I was just thinking about that when you said that people have to cough five times.
Yeah, yeah, that was interesting. I wasn't expecting that part of it. And then when I tried to do it, I was like dry heaving. Like, I don't think I've ever made myself cough.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be easy, but it was actually strangely challenging where I kept like gagging. The worst. I've had a very sensitive throat. And then my family attended a march and a vigil here in Los Angeles yesterday. And that was really moving. And I'm glad it's something that we did with our kids. We have been having a lot of conversations with them. We talk a lot about, you know, inequality and racial inequality and all sorts of things in our family. But we are doing it obviously more so now. And they watched the Sesame Street Town Hall. And they're still talking about it. So I don't know if anyone with children are interested, but it made an impact because they have been talking about it and referencing it in the 24 hours since watching it. So we did that before, and we, you know, tried to really talk to them about what it was going to be. They've been to protests and marches before, but I think they were a little apprehensive because they've been seeing a lot of the news. And so it was interesting, but, you know, I think we also made strides with them in helping them to understand their white privilege, which was really interesting.
Oh, cool. How?
I think they are starting, you know, they're older. They're 7 and 9. And I think a lot of what they understand about racial injustice and racism is that they think of it as something that doesn't exist anymore, because I think that's how they're presented a lot of history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's on us as parents. Like, I'm not sure, you know, we talk about it in the present. We've talked a lot about how, like, their relationship to what a police officer is versus their black friends. And we're having these conversations, but I think they kind of thought, like, oh, that doesn't, like, I love my black friends. This doesn't happen anymore. And I don't think they fully understood that they are inherently born with a privilege just by the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think they are starting to absorb what's happening. You know, we've talked to them about George Floyd and police brutality. And I just think it started to click a little bit that, like, oh, like this exists and is a thing that I benefit from, or I mean, that's, yeah, it's a little bit of a hard concept to grasp, but, you know, like, all we have a lot of you know, we have a book about Harriet Tubman and a book about Rosa Parks, and they do a lot, they really, like, deeply understand the message of Martin Luther King in a way that, like, I did not at the age of 7. But that's all, like, historical. Right. So
yeah,
they don't, yeah, see it. Yeah. I don't think they were seeing it in the present context. So anyway, this is ongoing work that I and my husband and I are really thinking about as parents. And I think that's, you know, it's something that we've always thought about. But conveniently, because of our white privilege, we can be like, you know, like, this is, it's not something that is inherently a part of our existence. So I feel like, the more that my consistent practice of anti-racism and unlearning is part of that is raising them to be better than me, hopefully. So that is what I have been thinking a lot about in the past week with them.
That's a really powerful sentiment.
Oh, thanks, Dory. And I mean, the vigil that we went to and the march we went to was packed, and it was wonderful, and people were still socially distanced and respectful of space. But I will tell you a humorous anecdote is that my 7-year-old farted through the entire vigil.
Oh my God.
Which was very embarrassing. And I didn't quite know how it was like being on a plane, you know, when someone's farting and you're just like, we're totally. All in this like space and everyone. And that was very,
you was know, it she, loud?
Nope. It just smelled really bad. And I like,
oh my God.
She's 7 and she like, had been, you know, she like yelled oh my her God. Heart out. She was chanting along with people. She marched. She stood patiently, but then like, she's still a kid who doesn't understand like the boundaries of polite society and was just letting it rip.
Wow.
That's my update anyway.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that's what's going on over here. Hopefully our coronavirus tests come back negative and we clear that hurdle.
Yeah. I hope so.
I'll keep you posted. I mean, we do podcast 3 times a week, so you will find out in real time.
We do. And we text a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we don't just... I mean, like, the audience, our listeners will find out.
Yes, our listeners
I will, promise yes. to not withhold that information until a recording okay. session.
Thank you. Be, thank you so much.
That would be, like, real weirdo reality TV move if I didn't tell you. And then we got
saved
on...
saved it for the pod.
Yeah. No. That would be so whack. Okay. How are you doing over there?
You know, I'm doing okay.
That is, I want to say, that might be kind of your general statement. I am doing...
That I'm like, I'm...
Okay.
Fine / okay. Like, I'm not great. I'm not great. But I'm fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you need not be great.
Right. But I also want to be... upfront about the fact that I'm fine.
Good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I totally do know what you mean.
So yeah, I've been, you know, in my sort of ongoing practice of being a better ally in my day-to-day life and not just in times of crisis and not just in, you know, performative or demonstrative actions, and not just about donating money. Like I'm doing all those things. I'm doing the performative actions. I'm doing the donating money. I'm doing the actions in time of crisis, but I also am like really making an effort to do these things in my day-to-day life. And so I just want to talk about a couple of things that I did in the last few days that were, I was like nervous about them. And then they, spoiler, they turned out really to be like really rewarding conversations. So the first thing that happened is last week, the organization that runs my son's playgroup, which isn't happening in real life anymore, with the parents meet once a week on Zoom with the same facilitator who led the playgroup when we could still meet. So they sent out a sort of like, I would characterize it as a tepid statement of solidarity email. And, you know, I was glad they sent it, but I was also sort of like, meh, you know, mm-hmm. like, yeah. Really? This is it. So I responded and I asked how they're planning on making the organization more diverse, both in terms of the kids that are there and the facilitators. And I haven't received a response yet. And that was Wednesday night. And today is Monday night. So I followed up again over email today. But I brought it up. So in addition to that, I brought it up on our weekly Zoom with our facilitator. And she was super receptive and kind of told me about the struggle that she has had. She is a white presenting woman of color. So she was talking about how she's kind of been on, she's been able to be on both sides of it in a way that is sometimes uncomfortable for her. And she expressed her frustration with particularly the board of this organization, which she said is mostly white and male and older. And she was like taking notes about what I was saying and said she was going to bring it to the CEO. And then And she, you know, she was very grateful that I'd raised it. And then the rest of it, like, we had a pretty productive conversation then about raising anti-racist kids, kind of within the philosophy that we, I guess, subscribe to, which is at its core a humanistic philosophy, and yet doesn't do the best job, I think, at being deliberately inclusive. So this was something that had been on my mind, kind of on in the back of my mind for a while. And this, you know, the events of the last couple of weeks have spurred me now to be more vocal about it. And like, I really don't want to stop going to this playgroup, whether virtually or in real life, but I, you know, I'm prepared to quit if I don't get a response, or the response is kind of mediocre, which tepid. is tepid. So that was something that I was like, you know, I'm glad I kind of took this stand. Like, it feels like a small thing, but it also feels like the more people who can speak up about this stuff, the more like systemic change that's going to happen, and the more that people will know that they're on notice, and organizations will know that they're on notice. So that was one thing. And then another thing that happened is I had accepted a freelance writing assignment about a month ago, and I did all the reporting, and kind of as I was doing the reporting, I was sort of like, I don't know if like this is really the time to be writing this piece. And even beyond that, I actually now don't know if I feel totally comfortable writing this piece. Without going into too much detail, I just felt like it was a story about very privileged people, and it just didn't really, it wasn't sitting right with me. And then the editor checked in a few days ago and just asked, you know, how the piece was coming. And I just realized today that I can't write this piece. Like, it just doesn't feel like what, like, I don't want to take up space with this piece, I guess, is what it came down to. And I was nervous about saying anything because I hate, like, it felt like I was flaking. It's also money. It was a freelance assignment, so I was going to get paid for it. It's also, you know, a byline. It's also an editor who I like and I don't want to jeopardize my relationship with. So I was nervous about saying anything, but I did this morning, and he emailed me right back and he was like, you know, I totally agree with you. We shouldn't run this piece. And, you know, I hope we can work together on something else. So I was just like, so happy that I'd said something, and just really heartened by his response, while simultaneously recognizing that I am in a position of extreme privilege to even be able to turn down this work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be asked to do this article, like, I didn't pitch this article, they asked me to write it, which, you know, is also a function of having worked in this industry for 15 years and knowing a lot of people. But that is, you know, there's been a lot of talk this week in particular about privilege in media, and so I've been thinking a lot about that, so that was also just a thing that I was thinking about as I told this editor that I wasn't going to be able to complete the assignment.
What's your kind of like takeaway from these experiences and from having them be things that you were hesitant about or just nervous about, and then following through and the outcome? What's your kind of like, I don't want to say like, what did you learn? Because that sounds so obnoxious, but what's kind of like the impression it leaves you with, especially about actions that you can take?
Yeah, I mean, I think I generally don't shy away from confrontation, but I think a blind spot for me has been in terms of race and confronting other white people about racial issues. And so I hope that these experiences, racial issues, privilege issues, I hope that these experiences will kind of inspire me to do more, call it out when I see it, not be afraid of what people's reactions are going to be okay with the potential of like burning a bridge, losing work, having someone be upset with me, you know, kind of sitting with that.
Yeah, that's really powerful, Dori.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for coming on this journey with me.
Thank you for coming on this journey with me. You went on a live journey in front of our Instagram followers this Friday.
I sure did.
Last Friday. So
last week we talked about a lot of Black-owned beauty and wellness businesses. And that episode came together really quickly. And I unfortunately had not had time to, and because we're in a pandemic, you know, I didn't have time to procure the actual things we were talking about before we recorded, but I had ordered them, and they've all started to come. And so I'd gotten the Fast Face Kit from the Lip Bar, which was the kit of six different makeup items that you're supposed to be able to do in 7 minutes. And like, it's a full, beautiful face of makeup.
And it's $99 for the kit, right?
It's $99 and you get a foundation, you get a palette with like blush, face powder, highlighter, and contour powder. You get a eyebrow, it's like a dual-sided thing with like a gel kind of mascara wand on one side for your eyebrows and then an eyebrow pencil. You get an eyeliner, you get a mascara, and you get a liquid lipstick, and then you get a dual-sided brush also, and they also send you like a makeup bag to keep it all in.
Okay, so that is a really good price point because I whipped out my calculator and I divided 99 by 7, and that comes to $14.14 per item. So I just want to point out.
Yeah, no, I mean foundation alone, I feel like a nice like a non-drugstore foundation is going to run you at least $30 alone. Yeah.
You can pay like $60, $70.
Yeah. So no, it's a really good price point. I thought the quality of everything was really nice. So Friday night I was like, hey, what am I doing? Like I got nothing else going on. Why don't I just fire up the old Instagram Live and like do this face kit in front of our Instagram followers. At first I was just going to record a video and then I was like, fuck it, I'm going live, baby.
Woo! Tori's going out there.
I texted Kate and I was like, hey, just a heads up, gonna jump on our Instagram live. And you were like, what, right now? And I was like, yep, see ya.
And I had had I think I had a cocktail, so I jumped in and watched. It was very exciting.
Yeah, you sure did.
Yeah.
It was really fun, I have to say. I actually had a really good time, and people were so sweet and like were asking questions and following along, and it was clear, like it was not staged. I had not opened this before. Like I couldn't figure out how to open the eyebrow pencil, and but it was really cool. I actually really liked how I looked in the end.
You know what's funny? I tuned in when you just started and you were applying the foundation with a brush, and then I hopped off because I was hanging out with my family, and then I hopped back on with your like full face. And it was amazing. It looked great, especially your eyes.
Oh,
like the liner, the mascara, the brow, the eye color was great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, someone who was watching, because it doesn't come with eyeshadow, and someone who was watching, I was like, oh, I usually wear eyeshadow, and they were like, you can just slap some of that contour powder on. And I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. So I did that, and then I put a little highlighter under my brow bone.
And was it as quick as promised? Like, did it really just take?
Well, it was hard to say because I was doing it in front of an audience and kind of talking it through. Like, sure. I think if I had just been doing it myself, I probably would have been able to do it in close to 7 minutes. But because I was yapping, it took like half an hour. But no, it was really fun. And I totally want to do more. Also, I want to say that a couple of the brands that I ended up buying some stuff from, Beneath the Mask and Clure, I got emails or saw Instagram posts in the last couple of days that they are totally sold out, and they're taking pre-orders now for stuff that will ship later this month.
That's amazing.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, I tried Beneath the Mask stuff came too, and I tried their scrub, which is awesome. I love it. Love it.
This is the body scrub, right?
Yes, this is a body scrub. And as I believe I mentioned on last week's episode, I'm not a huge body scrub person typically. But this body scrub is really, really nice. It smells amazing. I love the texture. It's packaged beautifully. It is a higher price point, just in, you know, full disclosure. But you know, if you can swing it, I highly recommend it. And the moisturizer I got from them is also really nice. It's super thick, which, you know, I love. My skin just drinks it up. And then the Hanahana shea butter came today, and I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but I smelled it. It smells amazing. I got the eucalyptus shea butter, as you may recall.
You're just all exfoliated and moisturized over there.
I sure am.
I wish I could see your glow.
Oh, well, I'll text you a selfie.
Okay, thank you.
I'm really excited about our guest.
I am too. Let's take a break so we can get right to it.
Okay, be right back.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. That sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups, still without the underwire, to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with.
This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
Our guest today is Tiffany Moon. Tiff, we're so excited to have you on Forever 35.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Tiff is a lifestyle blogger known as the Northern Belle of the South, who thrives on transparency, has a love for fashion, and is a natural hair enthusiast as well as curly girl. She also uses her platform to show other bloggers how to succeed within the influencer marketing world by sharing tips every Monday on her Instagram page. A native of Connecticut, Tiff currently lives in Raleigh, North Carolina with her husband and daughter. Well, we love your Instagram. We love your blog. Really excited to chat with you. And yeah, I guess, do you want to just start by telling our listeners how you became an influencer and what that work has been like for you?
Sure. So originally, when I moved to North Carolina, it was really just something to kind of take up my time and then also an outlet for me. I've always had a love for fashion, but then it kind of morphed into more. I'm somebody who always puts myself in a box, and I realized very quickly that it could be more than just a fashion blog. You know, like I could touch on infertility, which I have. I can touch on marriage, interracial relationships, like a lot of different things. So very quickly, it became an outlet for me, but it also became a place to connect and uplift other women. And it took off from there. Once I realized that I could monetize and begin linking my outfits and different things that people asked me for anyways, that was really a game changer. I think that's a lot of game changer for a lot of influencers. And I think that's when everything started to kind of pick up and gain a lot of momentum. So it's definitely been a journey, to say the least. Certainly not without hiccups, but I've learned from all of it. You know, it's been a great, phenomenal. It's been 2 years now, so it's been it's been a great 2 years. I've enjoyed every step of it, and yeah, I mean, it's now it's kind of morphed into something else again. It's really changed. It's interesting to see.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about the work you've been doing lately? I think that's how we both first encountered your Instagram, was seeing your campaign to call out brands who have not been working with Black influencers and kind of talking about the steps that we can take to hold brands accountable.
Sure. So originally, it started with George Floyd's death, and then I began to speak out about it. And then in speaking to my daughter, she kind of held me accountable and in so many words told me, you know, when I was talking to her about it and asking her not to watch the video because she's 10 and I knew there was a chance that she could see it. She had mentioned some of her friends had seen it. I said, you know, I don't want you watching it. And we began to talk and she said, is this a talk about racism? And I said, yes. And then at the end of it, like when I was telling her everything that had happened, she said, I don't want to die because of the color of my skin. And then she was just like, and the other thing is people who need to speak up aren't speaking up. Mm. And I was like, you know, at first I was like, you're absolutely right. They're not. And then I was like, holy crap, she's talking about me. Wow. I have a platform. Wow. I can speak up. Right. And I'm not. And she's turning 10. I was like, oh my God. Like I literally just got like served by a 9-year-old. It's fine.
Well, you raised her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really. She's like a little me. And sometimes I'm just like, darn it. Oh, this is what my mom was talking about. But I promised her that from that point on, she would see what action looked like, you know, because to me, I didn't want it to be just, my mom said she was going to do this. I wanted her to see tangible things that she can look back on and say, my mom really stood for this and she believed in it and she pushed for myself and for the future. And so I immediately got on my Instagram. I started reaching out to a lot of the big influencers, some I had relationships with, some I didn't. And I was like, hey, like, we need to be addressing this. We need to speak up. And then I realized, though some of these influencers are household names, these brands are absolutely household names. And these brands are touching people in impoverished neighborhoods and in very affluent neighborhoods. So for them not to speak out, I was just like, this is crazy. Like, especially because we work with these brands. And I leaned on some relationships I had, some that I didn't, and just began like addressing the brands. Originally, I kind of sent them DMs. And then I was featured.
What did you say in those DMs?
Yeah. So in the DM, I really tried to see both sides of it. And I told them, you know, as an African-American female, and I said the words hurt. I said, it hurts me that you guys have not spoken up. This is something that I've invested my time and money in. And it's just unfortunate, you know, the amount of money and the power that the minority market has with regards to sales is insane. So for you to not speak on something that is affecting an entire market, a demographic, is asinine to me. And I said, I understand if you're afraid, but I'd rather you say something than nothing at all. Because if you say nothing at all to me, you are complicit. And like, it's just unacceptable at this time in the world. Like, you have to speak up. And some brands were great. Some responded and said, you're absolutely right. We're sorry. We're going to speak up. Can you give us a little bit to get our words together? We're going to make, you know, we'll put out a public word tonight. And I was like, absolutely. Other ones didn't respond, at all until the BuzzFeed article came out. And then once the article came out, then it was like very quickly brands, were responding and talking about it and pledging to do better. And, you know, not just speak about it, but also make sure that they are really showing and campaigning for diversity and inclusion. You know, you can't really talk about it if you don't have it in your company. It doesn't work. So that's how it happened. And it's very quickly, my platform has changed really into something completely different. A lot of my friends, it's really funny. Like, one of my good friends, Shaquita, who's a really big blogger, was like, you're like a modern day Rosa Parks. And I was like, not at all. And she's like, yeah, I don't think you realize, like, you're really on the front line. So it's really turned into something else, but I'm thankful for it. You know, it's opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people outside of myself. It has really, you know, paved the way for our future and our kids, you know, to have these conversations and not be afraid. So I wouldn't take any of it back.
Tiff, can I ask you a question? And this is something I heard you mention in an interview that you did with, I believe, the local Raleigh News. Mm-hmm. You said you wanted to know what these brands or what brands are going to be doing to fight against systemic racism, both internally and in the world, in 6 weeks, in 6 months, and in 6 years. And that really, I wrote that down because that really resonated with me. Because I think right now we're obviously seeing a real flurry of action, both from influencers and from larger brands. And how do we make sure that this isn't just lip service, right? Like, how do you advise people to stay on top of kind of calling these organizations out so that there are changes happening 6 weeks from now and then more changes in 6 months and 6 years?
You know, as someone asked me recently, like, where do you want this to go? And my only response was like, we are literally in like the ideation phase. You know, everything is, everyone's so passionate. Everybody's so fired up about this. It's being covered in the media, which I partly believe it's being covered in the media so much because we're very close to the presidential campaign. So there's a lot riding on this. But I think, I hope it doesn't die. And so I started a hashtag campaign that I'm going to kind of continue to work on and build off of, but it's called Go Beyond the Feed. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. I think holding brands accountable, you know, so like not really following this when it's trending, but following it and speaking on it when it's not trending. I think it's going to be one of the biggest things, especially for influencers. The other thing is leaning on those contacts, you know, leaning on those contacts, holding them accountable, saying, hey, this is what you promised. You promised that there was going to be more diversity within your leadership staff. How does that look? What are you guys doing? I mean, for me, I've been an admin for years. I'm an admin to three senior vice presidents, and I always see them talk in the future, the present, and the past. And so for me, I was like, okay, well, 6 weeks is tangible, you know, because 6 weeks will you'll be able to get a good temperature check of where people are in 6 weeks. 6 months, you will really see where someone's head is. But 6 years from now, you will really see what they put into motion to do to pave the way for those changes. And so I honestly, one of the brands asked me, you know, what can we do? And I was like, well, for one, you need to start with, again, auditing your circle. Auditing your leadership and seeing where the gaps are, because you cannot have conversations on diversity and inclusion if your circle is not even diverse. You know, you can't. It's impossible. And the other thing I suggested they do is bring on a diversity and inclusion consultant. That's an actual role. There are people who have those jobs who can audit your company and tell you what you need to do. And it's someone from the outside. Sometimes it's very hard to see what's wrong when you're inside of it. This is somebody from the outside. You know, it's a third person. They don't know what's going on. They just know this is what your company is made of. Here's what you need to do. The other thing I told one of the brands is, why don't you develop a diversity and inclusion panel? Have a diversity panel made up of several different people, several different backgrounds, and don't have it just be leadership. Have it be desk level employees, mid-level manager, and then executive leadership. That way you're getting a view from all facets of your company versus just from an executive. Because again, it's very easy for you to be that high and be completely removed from what is going on in the world as we see today.
Yeah. You know, Tiff, as you're talking, I'm thinking like, wow, this is so amazing. You've done all this in such a short amount of time. You're affecting actual change. But I'm wondering, you know, why is it only up to Black women, only up to Black influencers to be doing this work? Like, why aren't white influencers also kind of taking up this call? Or are they? And I just don't know it.
I think they are. You know, it's funny. Okay. I think they actually are. I had highlighted, or I had planned to today, to highlight Black content creators that I currently follow and really enjoy, but also highlight white allies. Because I think with everything that is going on, I and myself included, I think we fall short of highlighting the people who are actually allies and trying to make this change. I have seen some white influencers really step up to the plate. They have sent me DMs. They have said, do you want to hop on the phone? Are you okay? What do you need from me? What can I do? If you just need an ear, do you need me to put you in contact with some of my brand connections? And which floored me. And I was just like, oh my goodness, like this is what humanity is about. Like, this is what it means to put humanity over your reputation and for brands to put humanity over profit. So I certainly wouldn't say that it's only African-American content creators, because I really have seen some actually Hispanic creators too really come to bat and say, like, this isn't just a problem with the African-American community. This is all of our problem, because quite frankly, all of our children are going to have these conversations, have to deal with this, and have to deal with whatever mess that we don't clean up now or begin to chip away at.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think that is also something, like you were saying, you know, when we are not in a moment of crisis, how are people still going to be doing this work?
Right.
And that's going to be the question.
Yeah. And right. I think about that just as a white person and an ally and someone striving for allyship. Like, it resonates with me as an individual, as well as thinking about it in terms of larger corporations or more influential people.
Right. It's important, you know, it's important. I think it's important to have a diverse circle. I think it's important to highlight, you know, what everyone is doing versus just us in the African American community, because it's very easy to forget.
Yeah. Can you kind of mention any brands that you feel like are really walking the walk right now in terms of their responses to George Floyd's death and kind of what plans they have set in motion to combat systemic racism?
So it's interesting. In the last 24 hours, I have seen their editor-in-chiefs step down. So Bon Appetit.
Yeah.
That really rocked my world. I'm going to get this wrong because I always say it wrong. Bandeau, I think.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Bandeau. Yep. And then there was one more big one. And I was like,
there was Refinery 29.
Yes. Which I love. I was so shocked because I love Refinery 29. And I think some people would say, well, you know, they're stepping down too late or they're speaking up too late, but they didn't just speak up. These are senior level executives who literally stepped down and said, and one of them, I think it was Bon Appetit, stepped aside and he said, you know, I need to make way for diversity and I need to make way for other people to come up and to essentially put my money where my mouth is, which to me, it really like it settled in my stomach. Like I was like, this is action. This is putting your money where your mouth is. This is really, really stepping forward and saying, we're going to make a change. Pink Lily Boutique, I think they actually did really well, very quickly stepping up and speaking out and trying to not really get in front of the curve, but I guess get in the curve and make sure that they're doing their part. Shop Red Dress Boutique, Diana, she has been phenomenal about addressing what is going on. She immediately was like, listen, I know everybody wants things to change very quickly, but due to COVID, it's going to be very hard for us to change our feed within 24 hours. Give me a little bit of time. I'm going to start having models come in. You will begin to see African-American models and models of all types of ethnicities hitting this feed. And when I say she did it, she really did it. The photos on her feed are beautiful. She has gotten on her Instagram stories daily to talk to everyone. And she talked this morning about saying, you know, it's really sad when you don't want to be a better version of yourself. And she said, you know, how miserable is that to not want to be a better version? She said, I am my own competition and I push myself to be better than I was yesterday. This is my goal. I'm going to keep pushing. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand behind what I said and you guys will see it. Now you'll see it in the future and you'll see it in the certainly further in the future. So for me, those are the brands that are really, really and truly really stepping up and making us feel like, you know, we're heard, you know, especially the brands that are not minority owned. I think it really makes a really big impact when they do this.
What would you suggest consumers do to pressure brands right now?
I think we are at a day and age where social media literally can make or break a campaign. Ironically enough, you know, people don't really look to the TV anymore for commercials and marketing. It's social media. And so I think that is a good and a bad thing. I think for right now, consumers who are truly concerned about this and want to speak out, I would say, get on social media. Get in your Instagram stories, tag these brands, send them a personal DM and even maybe tell them about an experience that you had and why this bothers you so much and how systemic racism is really destroying our country from the inside out and how it shouldn't have a place here, but ironically it does. And with them not speaking up, it seems like they're okay with it. I mean, I think in some sense, a lot of people think they have to yell and they have to scream to get a point across, and you don't. Every conversation that I've had with any CEO of the companies within the last 2 weeks, and even really desk level employees, I haven't screamed, I haven't yelled. You know, I used my intelligence, I use my words. Like I tell my daughter, use your words. I use my words, and I made sure they understand this is not about, this isn't aesthetics. This isn't surface level. To me, this is, I am a Black female. My daughter is half white. I am trying to show her that there is a place in the world for somebody who is Black and white, that it's okay. And I just pulled on my experiences and made sure that they realize I'm not a stereotypical, like, angry Black woman. I'm upset. I'm hurt. I want to talk through this and I want to make you an ally versus an enemy because it shouldn't be that way. And it's resonated with a lot of the brands. So honestly, I would say use social media and really show them your heart and let them know like this is not, you know, it's about what I feel. It's about how it's affecting the country, everybody, not just me. You need to speak up.
And you have a great template for people to use in contacting brands that I think anyone, influencer or not, can use to reach out to brands for change. And we will obviously link to that, but it's excellent. And it gives people the words to really push for change. It's great.
Yeah. So a friend of mine, Abby, she saw my Instagram stories where I was telling influencers essentially what to say to brands and how to lean on the relationships. And she DM'd me and said, hey, I really want to come up with this template. Can we do this? And so I said, yeah, you know, like absolutely. So I give her credit because she, though it was inspired by me, she wrote it. She sent it to me. She said, what do you think? Do you want to change anything? And I was like, this is amazing. This is spot on. This is everything I said. No, let's do it. Let's put it out. And ironically enough, I have seen people from my home state in Connecticut take it and they have called on the brands that they use, like in the hair salons. I've seen nail salons use it. Abby has gotten a lot of DMs, so have I, with people saying that they took it and just kind of picked out key words and then used that template to talk to family and employers. Like, so it really has morphed into something. Yeah, it's incredible. It's humbling, really, is what it is.
Well, I'd love to switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the natural hair content that you have, that you were kind of known for posting until now.
Yeah.
And I was hoping you could talk about what your top three natural hair care products are.
Oh yeah, I would love that. top three. So I love Not Your Mother's Curls. They have a curl talk line. So with natural hair, it's very, very big. If you follow the curly girl routine, to use things that are sulfate, paraben, and silicone free. Not Your Mother curl talk line is completely sulfate, paraben, and silicone free. And so they have a 3-in-1 conditioner. You can use it as a co-wash, you can use it as a leave-in, or you can use it, I think, as like a pre-poo. And so I've used it for all three. And I love it. It really hydrates my hair. My hair is very, very coarse. I have 3C, 4A hair. So it's very coarse, and it's very low porosity. It doesn't retain water very well. So that has been like a complete godsend. Other thing I would say, Camille Rose, they have a curl, it's not curl talk, oh gosh, they have a gel, oh gosh, and it's like their signature gel.
That's me. Is it the curl maker?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's amazing. So I use the curl maker and then they have a curl milk. I use the two of those and it like locks in moisture. It's funny. I keep saying to my husband, I'm like, I use the curl maker and the curl milk and like my forehead and like my skin is all moisturized. And he's like, isn't that what you want? And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the point. That's not the point. He's like, oh my gosh. seriously. But those three, I would say those are like my go-to three things that I love to use. And then I make rice water at home. That has really helped with my hair growth. I cut my hair probably within like, it was like 3 inches, maybe. It was really, really, really short to where it is now a year and a half ago. And rice water has been my go-to, treatment and routine. I try to do it weekly.
What is rice water?
Yeah. So it's fermented rice. So you put rice, you clean the rice off and it has to be, it can't be like Uncle Ben. So it can't be like pre-washed rice. You clean the rice off, you put it into like a cup of water. You put a top on it and you put it somewhere dark and cool. Leave it for 24 hours. Usually if you leave it for 48 to 72, it's even better. The smell is horrible because it's fermented rice. It's really bad. So I put peppermint oil because peppermint oil is known to promote hair growth. It's known to promote circulation. And then it masks the smell of the rice water. So I put that all in there. I'll shake it up. I put it in, usually in the cabinet, in a mason jar for about 72 hours. Sometimes I do 24 hours. And then I will pour it on my hair after I am done, like washing out my deep conditioner, leave it on there for about 30 minutes. And I do that. Usually I haven't done it recently, maybe like in the last month, but usually I do it about once a week. And like the hair growth has been insane, to the point a lot of natural hair care brands have picked up on the rice water. Curl Smith has a complete line that is dedicated to rice water. Like, it's like a three-step system and all of it has rice water in it because it's known to promote health and growth. Yeah. And then Mayel Organics just came out with a rice water line that, from what I'm told, and when I went to look, it sold out like in a day, like of everything. Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. So it is really been on the forefront for natural, the natural hair community.
Can you also talk about some of your self-care practices, and are you able to practice self-care during this time?
You know, not as much as I want to. Not as much as I want to. So I reached out to two of my girlfriends and I was like, listen, like, we can have a self-distancing. I live in an apartment complex. I said, we can have a self-distancing party on the rooftop of our parking deck. I was like, but I just need to touch base with you guys. Like, I just need to talk. I just need girl talk. Like, I just need snacks and wine. And I just need it. I was like, because this is, it's really heavy and it's a lot. So for me, that is really big for my self-care practices. The other thing is, you know, especially being in quarantine and working from home, my husband is very good about giving me space. And so he and I, like, if I'll be like, hey, can I have the bedroom for a couple of hours just to kind of have some time myself and watch a movie and, you know, just decompress. And he's like, yeah, I'll hit the couch. You hang in the bedroom. I'll keep Bella out here. Don't worry about it. You know, enjoy your quiet time. You know, but pre-quarantine, like, I would go out with my girlfriends for mimosas, or, you know, I would go and get a pedicure by myself, or just go walk around the mall, not even purchase anything, just kind of go walk around the mall and people watch and enjoy myself. But between quarantine and everything, the unrest in the country, it's been really difficult. And it's been really difficult as of late to do it, because I feel like being, you know, having the platform that I have, that that I have to keep going and I can't stop, and I have to keep talking and, you know, be on my Instagram stories every morning at 7 o'clock because people are like, we start our morning listening to you, you know, we're counting on you. But yeah. So it's a lot. But like today, I decided to come to my girlfriend's house and work from her house. We're both working from home. So I was like, I'm coming over. She ordered lunch and it's been so relaxing. I brought my puppy with me. She has three puppies. The dogs were playing. I'm in our spare bedroom just hanging out. And it's like, I'm productive, but I'm also caring for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been rough though.
That is an interesting balance, right? Trying to strike actually the being productive, but also making sure that you're getting cared for.
Right.
And that's hard to find, especially I imagine right now.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. But it's important. I know it's important. So I'm trying to practice what I preach and make sure I take some time for myself, because I'm, you know, I'm no good to anybody if I'm not even good to myself.
Yeah. Can I ask you, as a fellow parent of a tween daughter, is there anything that you are modeling for your 10-year-old in terms of self-care and what you hope that means for her?
Yeah. So it's funny, for her, she's very big on bubble baths. She's very big on mani-pedis. She has long, gorgeous hair that's literally down to her butt and it's curly. And so she's very big on hair care. And so I will tell her a lot of the time, like, she was in private school and it was very, very rigorous. And then she did tutoring after that. And we're just really big on academics. And so I would say, she would say, like, mommy, like, I'm really tired. Like, you're putting too much on me. Like, you're asking too much. And I was like, well, if you're able to tell me that I'm asking too much, I probably am asking too much of you. And if you're saying that, it's clear that you need a break. So I was like, how about a bubble bath? Like, do you want a bubble bath? And she's like, yeah, can I get some bath bombs? And I'm like, yeah, let's go to Lush, pick out some bubble baths that you like, you know, get you some bath bombs, and you take that time. You tell me what you need. I'm literally going to be your maid. for the entire afternoon or evening. You just soak and enjoy yourself. And she gets like little, like anytime we have like a holiday or anything small, like even Easter, I'll get her like little face mask and I'll be like, hey, go use one of your face masks and just kind of lay out on your bed and play like some relaxing music. Have Alexa play like, I recently learned she'll play Rain on the Windowsill. And I was like, just have your Alexa play that and just relax and, you know, just block out everything, turn everything off, turn your phone off. And she does. And I think for me, it taps into that girly side of her, that feminine side that she wants to nurture and that she's going into. It makes her feel like, okay, my mom is treating me like I have an opinion, like I am turning into a young woman. And, you know, and then it also just kind of reiterates that you have to take care of yourself. Like, this is important. Sometimes I just let her do her own deep conditioner and I have a hooded dryer at home. And I'm like, get under the dryer, act like you're at the salon and put your headphones in and zone out. Do what you got to do, girl. Like, let me know if you need anything. I'll bring you some orange juice, whatever. Like, you want snacks? Okay, not a problem. I'll do it. And she's been good about it. The other thing is I let her go to my sister's house. My sister is really an outlet for her. They're very, very close. I had my daughter when I got pregnant when I was 19. I had her when I was 20. And her and my sister are so close. It's insane. Sometimes my mom is like, the two of you act like sisters instead of like, that's your niece. And my sister's just like, oh, we all grew up together. I mean, what do you want from us, mom? And so she'll be like, can I go to Kiki's house? And I'm like, yep, you want to go to Kiki's? And she's like, yeah. And she'll go to my sister's house and they'll play in nails. And my sister will let her cook and, you know, bake. And she'll talk to her about like, why cooking is important and how you can give back by cooking. And she'll be like, you know, we can go take some to the neighbor who's elderly. Like, it's really good. So I just try and allow her be an individual and kind of learn on her own what self-care means to her. Cause you know, it looks different to all of us, and then just play off of that. And I just kind of follow her lead. And then she feels like she has a voice. Like, she doesn't just feel like I'm just telling her like, well, go sit down and read a book. And you know, that'll mm-hmm. take your mind off of everything. Cause I know that's not the case.
Oh, you sound like an awesome mom.
I try. I really try.
It's hard.
It is. It really is, especially giving birth at 20. Like, yeah. We literally grew up together. I say it all the time, and I truly mean it. Like, we literally grew up together. But I would not change it for the world. I mean, doctors told me that she wouldn't make it. They had me on bed rest from 3 months. And I delivered her at 8 months. So to me, like, she is my dream baby. I love her to pieces. And I just want to make sure, you know, because I don't know if I'm going to have any more kids. I don't even know if I can. So to me, I just, you know, I want to get this right the first time around. I don't want her to be the guinea pig.
Yeah, you've blogged and written about your struggles with infertility. And that's something that I've struggled with. I have a 13-month-old that took 2 years of IVF, 3 years, like it's all a blur at this point. and it really takes a toll on you.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how you're doing with that right now.
You know, I think sometimes I'm just like, you know, God, you work in mysterious ways, because with all of this happening and, you know, being literally, I feel like a modern day activist, it has really taken my mind off of trying to get pregnant. When my husband and I, first of all, when we had our miscarriage, I was at work and literally thought I was having a kidney stone. Like, I thought I was passing kidney stone because I had gallbladder issues. And I was like, oh my God, it's a kidney stone. I called my doctor. She said, well, go to the ER. And, you know, it's probably a kidney stone. And I was like, oh, and I was just so emotional. And, you know, we got there and my doctor's like, or the surgeon was like, the ER doctor's like, you're pregnant. And then, like, my husband and I started laughing. We were like, what? No, we're not. And they're like, yeah, you are. And this is a threatened miscarriage. So, you know, they were like, you can go on bed rest. It literally was like deja vu for me. It was like, oh my God, I am doing this all over again. This is literally what happened with Bella. But that time I was a single mom. This time I have a partner here to help me. And it was the roughest 2 weeks, I think, of our marriage. It was very, very hard. You know, it was really difficult. It was really, really difficult. And from that point, when we lost the baby, we said, okay, well, you know, there has to be a reason. We're just going to believe that the reason is something that we don't know. And let's go see the fertility specialist. And so when we saw the fertility specialist, they said, well, you know, we can try these routes and we don't have to go straight to IVF. We can try, you know, just timed intercourse, artificial insemination. And so we were like, oh, okay. And let's do it. And then I went to the doctor and they were like, you have a cyst in your ovary, so we can't give you the trigger shot this time or your pills. And I was like, oh my God, okay. You know, my menstrual is irregular anyway. So I'm like, okay, God knows like how long till we're going to be able to try again. And then COVID happened and then all this happened. And it's just like, we haven't even had time to think about it. But my husband said to me the other day, we have a good life. We have a good life. We have a beautiful daughter. He raises her as his own. And he was like, if we can't, it's okay. Like maybe you are destined to just be Bella's mom and to help people in a different capacity. And that's okay too. So it has literally pushed me to honestly focus more on Bella and what I have presently versus what I want, in the future. So I'm at a place of peace. You know, I'm really at a place of peace and I'm okay. You know, I'm okay with it. If we don't get pregnant again, then that's okay.
I got chills as you were talking. Your husband sounds amazing. Excuse me. Your husband sounds amazing also. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wish the best for you, whatever you end up deciding to do, whatever ends up happening for you.
Thank you.
I wish you both the best. And I think that's actually a good note to end on. Tiff, where can our listeners find you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, it's the Northern Belle of the South. I am on Twitter. I'm not very active on it, but my Twitter is Tiff, T-I-F-F, Turner Moon. And then my blog, thenorthernbelleofthesouth.com, which is really where I share a lot of, you know, my stories and what's going on with me.
Well, it was truly a pleasure to talk to you.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters and then My kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs, including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Well, we're back. I love Tiffany.
Yeah, I am so inspired to really kind of get down to work and do my due diligence and really thinking about, I mean, I'm going to talk more about this in my intention, but not just holding brands accountable, but also holding ourselves accountable for how we utilize our power as consumers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
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 Just something I know I've been really thinking about. So it was great to get to talk to her.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And like, I'm also thinking about like overhauling my Instagram follows. Like, I've already started doing it, but just like thinking about who I follow.
Yeah. And
who I kind of take direction from when it comes to clothes and skincare and beauty. So,
yeah. Well, please anyway. Keep taking direction from me.
Oh, always. So we didn't really do intentions last week, right?
No, we didn't. I think the previous week I had mentioned that I needed to find a solution to the ants that are all over my house. And I'm here to tell you that I haven't found a solution. I'm still cohabiting. I don't know. I live with ants now and it's fine. You know, okay. It's not a big deal. I am now understanding that you can't just like eat a yogurt and then leave it on your bedside table next to the desk where you work for an hour because the ants will come. That's been a learning experience.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. So now I'm learning that. So that, you know, I don't know. I haven't solved it, but that'll be a project for the summer.
Okay. All right.
But this,
what about this week?
Okay. So this week, you know, I was really inspired by Tiffany's work and also a lot of conversations I have been having and also seeing online and kind of taking place around me is that I really am kind of trying to take stock and acknowledge that I have not done a great job really thoughtfully curating the brands I buy from and support. I'm not consistent about the commitment I want to make to really being a conscious consumer, not like making sure things are ethically made and cruelty-free, knowing who's selling it, knowing like maybe I'm buying a really great brand, but I'm buying it from a larger business that isn't that great. Like I haven't done the best job of that. And so I'm really taking stock of that. And my first step is going to be going through my makeup and my skincare products. I have so much old stuff that I need to throw out. I mean, it's like overflowing on a shelf in my bathroom. Then I'm going to review the brands that I use and like, and then I'm going to do some research to see if my values align with theirs and to really learn about what they're doing, who owns them, who's behind them, who's benefiting. And then I'm going to kind of jot it all down and make note and really try to streamline my products. So that is my first. And then I would like to really do that kind of on a larger scale. But I'm trying to do small like steps because I do find like if the list becomes too long, then for me, at least, I just like don't do any of it. Right. And I think I hear this a lot, too, like in our conversations for specifically white people and in becoming true allies. Like it's the long haul. It's not like today we're doing all the work and then tomorrow we can just like walk away and forget about it, right? Like this is, if we want systemic change within ourselves and our society, like we are committed. So it's like, what can we be doing step by step by step to stay the course? So that's kind of also what I'm thinking about in kind of my life as a consumer.
I love that.
That's a very long intention. I don't think I've ever talked that long about an intention, but here I am. How about you?
Well, so my intention 2 weeks ago was to stay ahead of the cleaning, which I feel like I've talked about this.
Yeah, your the cleaning that you and Matt were doing, it kind of, it was going great, and then it wasn't going
great. Yeah, so I don't know. It's an ongoing project. But this week, kind of along the lines that you have been talking about, I want to check for Black businesses before I buy anything. So if I want to buy like a lipstick before I go to Sephora, let me see if I can get it from one of these other companies that I talked about. Or if I'm buying a book, let me buy it from a Black bookstore. You know, just like all of those things. I want to be a more conscious consumer when it comes to where I'm spending my money.
Wait a second. Do we kind of have this a similar intention this week?
It's very similar, Kate. Wow. I'm not going to lie. It's very similar.
We are in line.
We are in sync.
We are in sync. Just two planets orbiting the same sun. Do we orbit the sun? I don't even know.
Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you. I can't name all the planets, and it's like a real shame spot for my entire family.
Well, my son has a book called Eight Little Planets, so I've gotten very familiar with the planets lately.
I still couldn't tell you all the planets and the order they go in.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, we'll work on it.
I'll make that an intention sometime. I'm going to make a note of that. Planets.
I look forward to that.
Okay, great. Well, Dory, it's been great to talk to you.
Likewise. Always a pleasure. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dory Shafrir, and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And Sam Reed is our project manager. And we will talk to you all on Friday.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.